credible performance reporting. The annual performance reports that were submitted without errors, we have noted Centec and CETA, even though it has received a qualification on the financial reporting, but they have managed to submit an annual performance report with that it was free of errors, and that the quality of the final submission after audit, Centec and CETA have maintained their position. GPPS was also able to make it to the list because there were adjustments that were made, material adjustments that were made. And then overall, if you're looking at the movement from the previous year, there has been improvement, where last year we've noted only two entities that were able to achieve quality of financial submission after audit. And in the current year, the third one, which is made up by the GPPS. And then in terms of findings that we've raised, the only findings that were noted were findings in NEMISA. So material findings under the performance reporting were identified. And although this is overall an improvement, because in the previous year we've identified findings in more than one entity. And the sort of findings that were identified relate to reliable reporting on achievements. There was nothing that was noted in the usefulness of performance indicators and targets on all the entities that I'm reporting on today.
The next slide details our key findings relating to compliance with legislation. We note that GCIS and MDDA did not have any findings in this respect. And the remaining entities reported on did have material non-compliance findings. On the right-hand side of the slide, we detail the top five non-compliance areas that were identified. So we have already discussed the issue of the quality of financial statements presented in the previous slide. And we noted that there were material matters relating to the quality at SNCC and SNCC. The second key non-compliance area relates to the management of procurement and contracts, where we noted non-compliance with various legislation relating to the procurement of goods and services, including PFMA treasury regulations and the PPPSA, the Preferential Procurement Policy and Framework Act. In that respect, we noted findings at the Department of Communications, SABC, and CASA. The PFMA specifically requires accounting officers and accounting authorities to prevent any instances of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, and we noted a material amount of fees in SABC, FPB, and CASA, which resulted in the non-compliance findings. The PFMA further requires that where any instances of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure is identified, appropriate steps must be taken by the accounting officers or the accounting authorities to investigate the nature of the non-compliance and determine the corrective action that needs to be taken, as well as whether any particular person should be held liable from whom the funds should be recovered. Through our reporting processes, we noted that consequence management was not effectively implemented at SABC and CASA. And then at SABC, we raised a finding relating to strategic planning and performance management, but the specific aspect that it relates to for SABC, it was noted that the corporate plan that was submitted to the Department of Communications did not include the affairs of one of their subsidiaries, being SABC Foundation, as is required by the PFMA.
In the telecom portfolio, we have identified four top non-compliance areas. So we have identified the issue of financial statements. This was as a result of the financial statements submitted with errors. And this was noted in CETA and NEMISA. NAMESA was able to make the necessary adjustments. However, CISA could not make the adjustments, hence they've ended up with the certification. We have also procurement and contract management, where we have identified also disregards for compliance with legislation, and the contributor here is CISA. And then in regards to prevention of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the contributors where we've identified the non-compliance is CISA and NAMESA. And then on the disregard for taking the appropriate steps, what we term as consequence management, we have identified that under CISA. So if you look at the overall picture, there has been some improvement. In the previous year, GTPS was sitting with findings, and the findings related to consequence management, now they've managed to clear that part, and they are now sitting under the green block where we indicated that there were no disregard for compliance with legislation findings that were identified that were material.
We now move on to our assessment of the status of the internal controls for the communications portfolio. As part of our audit, we are required to report to management on the status of key internal controls that we believe are critical to facilitate a move towards clean audit outcomes. Our assessment is not intended to be a conclusion on the entire set of internal controls, or to be an evaluation of the performance of accounting officers or accounting authorities or management. The main purpose for doing this is to highlight key weaknesses that we would have identified that resulted in the findings in the audit cycle. As GCIS and MPDA achieved clean audit outcomes, they were not included in this analysis. For the communications portfolio, as a whole, as has been presented in previous slides, we noted that the most material or common finding relates to non-compliance with various procurement legislation and further resulted in the qualification at FACC. So most of the aspects that you will see that we raise as being items of concern where further intervention is required primarily relate to these findings. So if we look at effects of leadership, when we assessed the controls at SABC, we considered that it was important for the board to continue to strengthen the internal control environment to prevent irregular expenditure and also to improve on the detection controls that's currently in place to be able to report reliably on the financial statements. It is also important for the board to set the appropriate tone by effectively implementing consequence management. And while we note that steps are currently in place to move towards that goal, there were still weaknesses in this process that resulted in the findings in the audit report. As it relates to proper record keeping, the weaknesses that have been identified relate to certain information that has not been properly maintained at the entities. We noted for FPD that there were some challenges that we had around keeping information on relating to AOPO, which resulted in the yellow assessment. And at the Department of Communications, we noted that the register of deviations in the supply chain environment was not maintained, and that has resulted in if we look at daily and monthly controls, the weaknesses that have been identified for ICASA, DOC, and SABC specifically relate to the prevention of irregular expenditure, listed now mainly as a financial and performance management aspect. And at the SABC, this would include the detection and the recording of irregular expenditure. So what we're essentially saying is that the internal control environment must include appropriate controls that will be implemented on a day-to-day basis to ensure that as each quotation or each bid is evaluated, that appropriate consideration is given to compliance with legislation, that investors fit, you know, checklist this department briefing to ensure that there is compliance with legislation. But we also expect that there should be regular reviews and monitoring processes that are implemented on a daily and a monthly basis to prevent irregular expenditure and to ensure that the right goods and services are procured at the right prices. We also consider monthly reviews to be extremely important to identify non-compliance, to take corrective action as necessary, and to properly record irregular expenditure. These controls should also include the requirement to investigate all instances of irregular expenditure that has been incurred, to take appropriate corrective action, and to implement an appropriate system of management. We did report on the review and monitoring compliance, where we noted weaknesses in the control environment for ICASA, SADC, and DOC, and these again specifically relate to the findings we have in the audit report relating to irregular expenditure. We did not identify any significant concerns relating to risk management. Thank you, Joy.
So in the telecoms portfolio, under the effective leadership, we have noted under that, you know, there's a need to strengthen oversight role over internal control, governing compliance for CETA, and then for NEMISA, governing the performance information, because NEMISA has an issue with how the performance information is reported. We've also noted that there must be policies that would need to be reviewed, and you know, leadership should take a leading role in that area to just make sure that, you know, the policies that are in place are aligned, and overall the organization is complying with the latest legislation, the latest standards. And also we also noted that, you know, effective plans need to be in place where they are monitored on a regular basis to be able to identify, you know, the deficiencies, the internal control deficiencies, and they are responded to in advance in order to avoid a situation where, for example, CETA has ended up with a qualification and then NEMISA has ended up with an adverse material finding under the audit of predetermined objective. And then in proper record keeping, you can see CETA has been highlighted as an area that requires intervention. But if you look at the overall picture, there hasn't been a change compared to the previous year. So the reason why we've highlighted the proper record keeping and an area that intervention is required in CETA is when we were performing the audit, more especially around the compliance area, there were a lot of information that could not be provided to us to be able to express an opinion. As a result, we ended up with a qualification under the irregular expenditure. So to a certain extent, information could not be obtained to be able to estimate what is the extent of the irregular expenditure that will need to be disclosed. And then under daily and monthly controls, the areas that have been highlighted as an area that requires intervention, it's CETA and NEMISA, and both of them have regressed compared to the previous year. With NEMISA, the daily and monthly controls that we would like to see in there is around the performance information reporting, and then CETA is the, like, their irregular expenditure or the compliance area, and keeping track of, you know, the irregular expenditures that have been identified through to failures in the legislation, and, I mean, adherence to legislation and policies. So there needs to be a system that must be in place where all the non-compliances that are identified, there's a system that keeps track of it. There's a system that keeps track of how much is it, so that at the end of it, when it's time to report, they are able to report accurate information in the financial statement, and the support is present for an audit to be performed in that area. And then the review and monitoring of compliance, Zika is an area that has been flagged as an area of concern, and due to, you know, the irregular expenditure that ended up being a qualification area for the current year. So there has been instances where we have noticed that, you know, they don't have the necessary capacity to keep track of the volume of the non-compliances that have been identified, and so that the controls or the processes in place or the capacity that they able to maintain and keep record of all the different types of non-compliances and the irregular expenditures to be recorded. The other part that we've noted as well is the lack of training that's supposed to be provided in order to be able to capacitate the employees in areas such as compliance. So the lack of review and monitoring of compliance was identified as a key issue, and as a result, the qualification then, they ended up with a qualification in their audit report. And then under risk management, the most adverse result or unfavorable results that were obtained, they still relate to CETA, which has been flagged as an area of concern, and it's a regression. In the previous year, we had indicated it as a green, which indicates that you know, risk management is good. So the concern that was identified there is that, you know, the process of identifying all the risky areas was not as effective as it should have been, and the proper monitoring of it did not happen as it should have. And as a result, you know, all these qualification areas ended up coming up and resulting in overall the entity receiving an unfavorable audit opinion. So that's why we have flagged it as an area of concern and an area that management should be paying close attention to. Thanks.
So we now move on to our slide on the assurance that has been provided for the communications portfolio, noting again that GCIS and NDDA are not included as they had achieved their audit, and we believe that adequate assurance is provided at all levels. As with our slide on internal controls, it's important to note that this assessment is not intended to relate the overall performance of all levels, but rather to indicate or to highlight the weaknesses that have been identified relating to these matters that are within the sphere of influence of various parties, specifically as it relates to the findings in our audit. The first level of assurance relates to senior management, the accounting officer, the accounting authority, and the executive authority. It is considered that these parties have a more direct level of influence on the audit outcome. In respect of senior management, we consider that they are directly responsible for the implementation of daily and monthly controls, as per our previous discussion of internal controls. And we noticed for the four entities listed that management provides some assurance. If we look at it holistically, but more needs to be done to improve audit outcomes, especially as it relates to procurement and the reporting of irregular expenditure. The accounting officer or the accounting authority is ultimately responsible for preventing irregular expenditure within each of the entities. And their responsibility includes that they must implement adequate measures to strengthen internal control to prevent irregular expenditure. They are responsible for ensuring that irregular expenditure is properly identified and reported. They must effectively oversee investigations of irregular purchase and resource expenditure that has been incurred within the entity, and they must properly investigate irregular expenditure incurred with the objective of holding responsible officials accountable when necessary. So in evaluating and considering the findings in our audit report, we assess these entities as the accounting authority to be assessed as yellow and providing some assurance. At the executive authority level, when we consider the audit outcomes of SAPC, we consider that more intervention is required around this area of procurement management in the form of monitoring to assist with the improvement in the audit outcomes in this area for SAPC. The second level of assurance that's referred to on this slide is slightly more removed from the day-to-day activities of the entity and its daily operations. In this respect, we considered internal audit, the effectiveness of internal audit and the effectiveness of the audit committee. And SPB, both of these were considered to provide some assurance, and these are directly then related to the findings that we have identified on the non-compliance with legislation, again relating to irregular expenditure. Thank you, Joyce.
And then in the telecoms portfolio, you note that I'm reporting back on three entities. And NEMISA, according to our methodology, is considered to be a small audit. So the type of methodology that we follow, we don't necessarily make an assessment under the assurance providers. And for that reason, because the information is not included in the audit report, I would not be providing feedback on that. So I will be providing feedback on Centec, CISA, and DTS, starting with senior management. So we haven't seen a change in the type of assurance that senior management has provided in the previous year compared to the current year. Although we're still highlighting that CISA and DTS, they are sitting in an area, in a yellow area, which indicates provides some assurance. We have highlighted, and the reason for that with the CETA is because of the qualification area, they should have reacted a little bit more faster and tried to prevent the qualification. And then with TPS, what we've highlighted is the misstatements that we've identified. Even though, you know, some of them were not material, those were issues that we identified and they were corrected. And then under the accounting officer / accounting authority, the part that we've indicated as an area of concern and it has regressed, it's CETA. The issues or the areas that we have indicated, as my colleague has indicated, what's the role that they are expected to play in terms of the PFMA, things such as prevention of irregular and fruitless expenditure, and taking the appropriate action against those that contravene that. And then I've also mentioned in the previous slide that, you know, areas of policies that will need to be reviewed and aligned to the latest legislation or the latest standards. It's an area of their responsibility. And also ensuring that we have effective plans that will address deficiencies in internal control is also an area that they are directly responsible for and as per the PFMA. So for that, because CISA, we have identified major non-compliance issues that have resulted in irregular expenditure, and for that reason, that is why we have indicated as an area where they're providing limited to no assurance, and they have regressed in that area. And then from an executive authority point of view, for Centec and DTPS, we were happy with the role that the executive authority plays. We've indicated as executive authority provides assurance. However, for CETA, we've indicated that some assurance is provided. And the reason or the role that we pointed out was, you know, the executive authority plays a key role in ensuring that the appropriate governance structure is in place. What we have sort of noted is that the term of the previous those charged with governance ended, and then there was a period where there wasn't, you know, active members that were appointed. So as a result of that, we then have highlighted that there's no proactive actions in place that are taken by the executive authority to be able to protect, you know, the organization as a whole. Because what happens there is that you need to have, you know, those charged with governance where issues such as internal control deficiencies are reported to someone, and there is someone that is ensuring and following up and making sure that those that need to be held accountable are held accountable.